And let's turn to Hebrews 5, the fifth chapter of Hebrews. And I will just read two verses, starting at the 12th verse of Hebrews 5. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only in milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. The topic today comes in the form of a question. How is your diet? Amen?
Amen.
How is your diet? Let us pray. Father, we thank you.
Thank you.
We thank you, Lord, for just blessing us once again. As I stand here prepared to share this word, your word, please bless me, Lord. It is your words. It is your message. Anoint this vessel. And Father, anoint the ears of the hearers. In Christ Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
How is your diet? This message deals with spiritual immaturity. You know, we understand that in the ways of the world, that we have indicators to determine how mature we are. And we have measurements. There are tests to measure your readiness.
Yep, yep.
The writer of Hebrews is writing this letter to a group of Hebrews who have been influenced by the teachings of Jesus Christ. There are three audiences that this letter has been written to. One, those who have accepted Christ, but yet they're suffering persecution right now. They're suffering rejections from their fellow Jews. This letter was written to give them confidence in Jesus Christ as the Messiah and as the high priest. There was another subsection of Jews who were convinced about the truth of the gospel, but could not bring themselves to accept Christ as Savior. And then there's another group that had been exposed to the gospel but just did not believe that it was true. See, so much of the Jewish faith was built upon the priestly system, where the high priest was the spokesperson and the conduit for God. In this letter, the writer is writing and letting them know that Jesus Christ fulfills that role now. And that's what chapter 5 is all about. Hebrews seeks to show that Jesus is now the high priest. As we look at the very first verse of chapter 5, the writer lays out the qualifications. We don't know exactly who wrote the book of Hebrews. But the writer wrote, "For every high priest taken from among men is appointed for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. He can have compassion on those who are ignorant and going astray, since he himself is also subject to weakness. Because of this, he is required, as for the people, so also for himself to offer sacrifices for sin. And no man takes this honor to himself, but he who is called by God, just as Aaron was. So also Christ did not glorify himself to become high priest, but it was he who said to him, "You are my son. Today I have begotten you." As he also says in another place, "You are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek." Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears from tears to him who was able to save him from death, and was heard because of his godly fear. Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him, called by God as high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. So what the writer is laying out, that you believe in the high priest and the priestly system. I'm just here to show you how Jesus Christ fulfills that role now. And he uses the name of a high priest, Melchizedek. That was the one we see in Genesis chapter 14, who was king of Salem and also the priest of high, who went out to bless Abram after a very important battle. This is somebody that is unfamiliar to us, but he was held in very high regard among those of the Hebrew people. So again, that is the audience of this book. But then he goes in verse 11 and says, "Of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing." The writer says, "I want to go into this in more detail, but I can't right now because you don't have the comprehensive nature to understand what knowledge I'm about to drop on you." We all know that in order to teach somebody, to teach a child, we have to meet them where they are. We have to use words that they are familiar with and concepts that they can grasp. When preaching to a congregation like yourself, in order to break the word plainly, I have to use a vocabulary that you can understand. Of course, I could impress myself by throwing out Hebrew and Greek words. Well, would anybody be able to understand that? Unless I put some context around it. "Of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing." What he's saying is you have regressed on your learning about your faith. Yes, when you accepted Jesus Christ, you are on fire for the Lord. You wanted to talk about God all the time. Somebody stopped you and asked you what's going on. You got to tell them what the Lord did in your life. But over time, they regressed. They drifted from the word. And if you read the rest of this chapter leading up to this point, you will see that in chapter 2 and chapter 3, where they doubted the word. Now remember, those of the Jewish faith who accepted Christ were a minority in the population at this time. They were the ones who were looked upon as those who persecuted Jesus Christ. They were looked upon by those who were not Jews as those who had killed Jesus, but they were looked upon as those who were Jews, as those who were traitors to the faith. So see, they needed some real encouragement. And I can only imagine that over time, they became dull in their hearing. That word dull means not sharp. We have some things in our house that are supposed to be sharp. Things like knives. How many times have you pulled out a knife? Excuse me. Have you pulled out a knife only to find out it is that dull knife? And what do? Put it back in the drawer and put out another one. Instead of taking the time to what? Sharpen the knife. Men who shave, we have razor blades that over time get dull. And once they become dull, they irritate our skin. And we throw them away. We dispose of them to use a sharper instrument. Dullness is an inconvenience. And it is inconvenient to be a dull Christian. So see, what the writer is saying, I have some more I'd like to talk to you about Jesus Christ fulfilling the high priest's role, and I'll do that in chapter 7, but I got to tell you right now, I can't, because you've become dull of hearing. I like what Paul said to the church in Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians 2:13. He said, "For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you receive the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it, not as the word of men, but as it is truth, the word of God, which is also effectively working in you who believe." You see, once we become dull, the word quits working. Word quits working in us. I got more I'd like to explain to you. I'd like to go deeper into the subject. But I have to stay elementary because that's where you are. Also in Acts, we see the description of the church in Berea, Acts 17:11. These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica who, even though they believed in God, could get stupid at times. In that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scripture daily to find out whether these things were so. One indication of dullness is that we quit searching the scripture. Do we quit reading the word of God? Do we regress to the point where we see all spiritual teaching as dull or boring to us? Do we stay away from Sunday school because the lessons seem boring? Do we not come to Bible study because we find it dull? Do we not appreciate the preached word because it is boring? Now, in some cases, in some situations, this might be true. But quite often, the problem is not with the preaching or the teaching, but it is with the hearers of the word. James 1:22. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. So in other words, if we just hear the word, and if it's dull to us, we have little incentive to do the word. And if we are a hearer only, we are like the person who looks at themselves in the mirror, turns away and forget what we look like, and have to look again. I know some people who like themselves so much they can't stay away from the mirror. I wonder if it's because they forgot what they look like. Or simply they like what they see. Has the word become dull? That we have no appreciation of the word of God? Have we regressed so that it has little meaning to us? That's one of the indicators of spiritual immaturity, is dullness towards the word of God. If the word of God does not excite you anymore, I pray that you regain your excitement. But to do that, you have to spend some time with the Lord. Another indicator of spiritual immaturity is the latter part of this verse 12. For though by this time, you ought to be what?
Teachers.
Teachers. You need someone to teach you again. The first principles of the oracles of God. Dr. William Wiersbe, who's a great teacher and Christian writer, once wrote that the ability to share spiritual truth with others is a mark of spiritual maturity.
Yes.
We ought to be able to share our faith with others. But how can we help others grow in Christ if we don't have a grasp on the foundational truths of our faith? By this time, you ought to be teachers. By this time, you ought to be reaching and teaching others about Christ. But yet you need someone to teach you again. That means you've heard it before. You know, with children, we have to be repetitive in our teaching. Repetitive, that repetition is what brings it into practice. But once we get old enough, we should not have to repeat unless we become dull in the faith. You need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. You need someone to teach you again the principles of the gospel of Jesus Christ and how Jesus fulfills God's plan for mankind. That's the second indicator, is the inability to share. If we can't share the word of God, and if we've been saved for 20 or 30 years,
Amen.
We need to check ourselves. Mm-hmm. We need to check ourselves. Mm-hmm. And the second part of that, verse 12, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. That's the third indicator. You're still on a baby's diet. You know, dullness towards the word, inability to share and being on a baby's diet. Milk is good for us. Milk is very good for us, they tell us. Isn't there a slogan that says, "Got milk?" And who remembers milk? It does a body good. You know, milk is that main nutritional substance for babies. That's what they drink. They don't have any choice. It's like milk. Milk is also for those who have not developed teeth yet. As they grow, you have come to need milk and not solid food. And we think of milk in that sense, and this is what he is using it as: someone who is a spiritual infant, who needs the nourishment but not has not developed teeth to eat, chew, and digest the solid food. My brothers and sisters, in this book, the milk refers to what Jesus did on earth. That's the milk. They understood the milk. They understood that Jesus walked the earth as man. They understood that Jesus did miracles everywhere he went. They understood that Jesus Christ was beaten, crucified, hung on the cross, and died. But the solid food goes beyond that. The solid food looks at what Jesus is doing now as he is with the Father. The solid food is how Jesus covers a multitude of sins. How Jesus is still calling out to men and women, boys and girls, to come on to me. As believers, we must continue to make progress and enjoy the milk, but desire the meat. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13:11 to the Corinthian church, "When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child, but thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Once I became a man, I recognized that I was a man." I recognized I had a different level of maturity, and I was supposed to be going greater and above what I did as a youth. And in verse 13, "For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe." He is a babe. You know, it's funny when we see babies progress. When they are newborns, they are very uncoordinated. They can't do anything for themselves, but they can sure holler when they want something done for them. Amen. And they have no respect of what time of day it is or night. If they are hungry, they will let you know. If they are wet, they will let you know. If they are uncomfortable, they will let you know. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled. Unskilled in the word of righteousness. Unskilled in understanding how this relationship with Jesus Christ helps us in our daily life. Unskilled in knowing and applying the word to our situations. Unskilled in seeing how the works of Christ is affecting our every decision, how we are covered from danger, how we are protected from danger, how we are provided for, because we are unskilled. Because we're still looking for the milk. He is a baby. Verse 14. But, there's that conjunction but. But we have a solution for you.
Yeah.
Is what the writer is saying.
Yeah.
But solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. That's the fourth point, the indicator of an immature Christian is they're unskilled in using the word. But solid food belongs to those who are full age. So solid food, have you ever been somewhere as a child and you hear this phrase, this is grown folks' conversation.
Yeah.
This is, you know, we can do this because we're grown. You can't do this. That's because they have matured to the point where they can do that. But solid food belongs to those who are of a full age. Now let's talk about a baby. Another thing about a baby. Once they do start eating, they will put anything in their mouth. You have to watch them very carefully. You have to make sure your floors are clean. And anything you don't want them to put in their mouth, you need to move it away. Because if they find anything, whether or not it is good for them or bad for them, they will try to put it in their mouth. See, as parents, we have to develop that sixth sense, those reflexes, and we kind of discern that, okay, he's about to reach for something. I got to be there to tell him, no, you can't eat that. No, that bug you found on the floor, no, that might have a little bit of nutritional value if you're in the jungle, but you're in the house right now. No, you can't be doing that. Those toys you are playing with, you can't put them in your mouth. Don't we see certain toys, certain things, certain small objects? Don't they have printed on the label? Might be a choking hazard for children. Keep away from small children.
Yes.
There are some things, my brothers and sisters, that are choking hazards for us. That if we're not spiritually mature, we might just need to stay away from them. Because they can choke us. They can make us worse off than we already are. Some of us need to have somebody with us to slap our hands when we reach out for something that we don't need to have. As a young man, I had a wingman. I had my buddy who kept me from doing things that I ought not to be doing. And that was my role with him. Whenever he came up with the craziest idea of us to do something, some shortcut in life in school, it was my role to say, no, we can't do that. No, that would just get us in trouble. We all need somebody in our lives that help us, that keep us from the dangerous things as we grow in Christ, that keep us from grabbing and attaching ourselves to the wrong things. The baby will try to put things in their mouth because they have not yet discerned the difference between good and bad. Immature Christians have not learned how to discern the difference between good and bad.
That's right.
I talk to younger Christians sometimes, and we tend to believe anything that someone tells us that comes from the Bible or is said by someone who says that it comes from the Bible. Just as children are very impressionable.
Yes.
Younger Christians are very impressionable.
Yes.
We can listen to sermons on the radio. We can listen to songs on the radio. We can watch online streaming, or we can watch on TV. And we can say that was a mighty good word.
Right.
But what did that word really say? Just because somebody uses the same vocabulary that we do does not mean they are applying it directly to the word of God. An indicator of spiritual maturity is able to, the ability to discern between what is in the word and the right application of the word. You know, I've learned and I've tried to do all my pastoral preaching career is to put context around any message that comes from this pulpit. Very rarely will you see me just choose one verse and just go from there. No. The Lord told me you got to put context with the people. This is an opportunity to teach the people. What is this verse about? Why is it in the greater context of this book? What is the intent of the writer to the audience? What is the intent for us as the readers today? Once you understand the context, and once you understand the word, then you can discern whether or not what is being told you comes from the word of God in the context that it was in the Bible. How many times has someone told you money is the root? Money is the root of all the evil. But don't you know the word does not really say that? The word says the love of money. It's a whole lot of difference when you add a couple of words.
Yes.
The love of money. Also, the word says our body is the temple. Had someone tell me one time, since my body is the temple, then I can worship in bed. We had to go back to that passage and share what the real intent was about that word. Psalm 34:8, the writer says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Taste and see that the Lord is good. For those whose senses have been dulled, I invite you to take a second taste. Taste and see that the Lord is good. I encourage you to take a second taste. But open your minds out. Clear your palate before you taste. Because you might have the aftertaste of whatever else you've been tasting before. Amen? But taste and see that the Lord is good. I like what Paul said to young Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:7. But reject profane and old wives' fables. And exercise yourself towards godliness. See, that goes back to Hebrews 5:14. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is those who by reason of use have their senses exercised. Exercise comes from experience to discern good and evil. In that 1 Timothy 4:7. But reject profane and old wives' fables and exercise yourself towards godliness. For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and now which is to come. But the writer of Hebrews is saying that you need to exercise your faith. This is not something you can just do once a week, once a month. This has become part of your normal life. It's okay to say we've got milk. But can we say we've got knowledge?
Yes.
Can we say we've got wisdom? Yes. Can we say we've got discernment? Yes. Can we say we've got spiritual growth? Our behavior will indicate our level of maturity. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul wants to have a grown-up discussion with the church in Corinth, but he couldn't because they were immature. This is what he says, 1 Corinthians 3:1, "And I, brother, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food. For until now you were not able to receive it. And even now you are still not able. For you still are carnal." And here's what he says next. "For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, you are not carnal and behaving like, are you not carnal behaving like mere men? For when one says that I am of Paul and another says I am of Apollos, are you not acting carnal or worldly?" Paul went on to say, "Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believe, as the Lord gave to each one?" What Paul is saying is, I have seen your activity, and your activity does not match your talk. You have shown yourself to be immature. You have shown yourself by your behavior, by how you treat others, by how you think about others. You have shown yourself to not be ready to take it to the next level. But Paul is saying, I am wanting to take it to the next level. Just as he is saying, as the writer of Hebrews is saying to this audience of Jewish Christians, I am ready to take it to the next level with you. I want to be with you. I want you to grow in Christ so that you can teach others about Christ. But you're not there yet. My brothers and sisters, if the word has become dull to you, it might be something. It's time to check up. We know when things go wrong with the body, we have indicators of telling us it's time for a checkup. When our eyes cannot focus properly, we can no longer read with the glasses we have, we say it is time to go see the eye doctor. When we cannot chew food without pain in our mouth, we can say it's time to go to the dentist. When we lose energy on simple, doing simple tasks and simple exercise, you know, when we could walk for miles a year ago, we say it is time to go to the doctor. My brothers and sisters, the same indicators are in our lives today as it refers to spiritually. It might be time for a checkup, but there's only one doctor that we need to go to, and that doctor is Jesus Christ, the high priest, the man who came and gave his life for us, the Son of the Father, the one who was prophesied since way back when, the one who came to redeem us back to himself. The question is, how is your diet? Have you checked it yet? Have you checked yourself about becoming dull towards the word? Have you checked yourself about your inability to share the gospel with somebody else? Have you checked yourself? Are you still sucking instead of chewing on the word of God? And are you skilled in discerning the word of God, what is good for you and what is bad for you? And more importantly, are you able to apply the word of God to your daily walk? How is your diet? That's the question I will leave with you. How is your diet? Y'all know in the next few days we're going to eat some stuff that we're not supposed to eat. How is your diet? Just as it is in the physical, it's the same way in the spiritual. We're going to partake in some activities that we know we ought not to participate in. Even entertain some spirits we know we're not supposed to entertain. How is your diet? Use these indicators of spiritual immaturity that was written to the Christians who were of the Hebrew heritage. But they are still for us today. I believe God wants to take us higher. He wants to share more with us. He wants to unlock. He wants to unleash. He wants to unblock the power that he has provided us with, but cannot do it because we're not ready yet. And it might be because of our diet. So therefore, let's check our diet. God bless you. God bless you. God bless the word of God.